Talking all things relationship. Guys, welcome to Relationship 204. My name is Tanisha Simpkins, and I welcome you guys to the show. Tonight, we're going to have a wonderful time talking about relationships, meaning all ships, whether it be friendship, marriages, business, any type of ship. We're going to talk about it. We're going to put it on the table and talk about it. Why Relationship 204? Because sometimes relationships can be basic, one-on-one, and most other times relationships are just complicated. I want to thank our guests, our co-host, for being on the show right now. So who do we have, starting with the women first? Okay. Well, starting with the men first, who do we have?
Hey, what's up, T?
It's good to be on tonight. Hey. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
What's up, John? What's
all
up,
right,
T?
John.
Lou. What's going on,
hey.
Lou? What's going on, my brother?
What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, your son, your nephew, your cousin, your pastor. Pastor G.
PG.
Yes, sir.
All right, homeboy. And also, we have the ladies. Lady?
I don't
hey,
know. You
y'all.
May be a little
oh. Hey, y'all. Y'all know who this is. For y'all who don't know my voice by now, y'all know I like to switch it up. This your girl, Shekinah Glory. What's up, y'all?
I don't understand. I don't understand what was that about. Jesus.
I know, right? All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us. This is another Thursday night here, April the 23rd, 2020 of this year. And I can say right now, at first I was like, the year is going fast, but right now it's going slow as a toenail. It's just like we seem like we've been in April for about 3 years now. I know a lot of us are so anxious right now. This recording is that we're in our quarantine time, so everyone is at a stay-at-home situation, so hoping everybody is taking all the precautions when they do go out. If anyone has lost any family members, my condolences and apology. Any of those who have family members that are in the hospital now, such as me or probably anybody else, we're hoping that they do get better. And also, when we're talking about relationships, our emotions, if you need to talk to somebody, hey, inbox me, inbox anybody that's here. Let's get these emotions checked. I'm an introvert, so me being home, staying in the house and doing what I do, it's not a bother for me, but I know for a lot of people, guys, it's a big thing. It's a trauma. It's a anxiety for those that's in the house. And, you know, depression sets in after about 15 days, so we're going to make sure that we pray for those people. So we have so much to talk about. I want to thank last week. It was myself, Melly Mel, and John on the show. We did an excellent job talking about different things and topics. So this week we have another different variety of things. So I want to just get started, you know, and I thank everybody who sends in their information, their letters, their emails, their memes to me, shorthanded, and all of that. And if you guys are interested in sending any information, you can at relationship204@gmail.com. You can send your comments, your suggestions, or anything to that. And if we have time, we'll talk about it. So I'm just going to go to some old ones, and then you guys have some topics of your own. I'll just start with one of the ones that I have, and then Shekinah, you can go ahead with your topic. This one here is, we may have talked about it some time ago, but we've been on here for a few years now. And I call, does old pictures and letters matter? And I just shorten it up because sometimes people send you a whole story. But to sum it up, a young lady dating someone for a while, and he has old pictures and letters of his exes. And she was wondering, is she being jealous? Is she being insecure? You know, what's the deal? Is it her or is it him that should have gotten rid of the old pictures and letters?
Let me go first. You guys already know I'm very old-fashioned. I burn it. Burn it as quick as possible. All the pictures, everything got to go. The reason I believe in that is because, no laugh, is because, believe it or not, things that remind us of our past, we sometimes bond to those things. Sometimes it's deeper than just the picture. It's the memory. It's the bond. It's the connection. This is why when people are breaking soul ties, we counsel them and we tell them, get rid of anything that reminds you of that person, because if when you're trying to be free and sever that tie, it'll keep you connected if you're still holding on to gifts, photos, you're still listening to songs that remind you of them. So I think there may be some type of bond that he still holds with the ex. I mean, before I got a divorce, every picture was gone. The world knew I was getting a divorce because my Facebook showed it. Every photo of you gets deleted. It's just my motto. Forget you existed on the face of the earth. It works better for me that way. So for me, I think I can understand the young lady's frustration with seeing why you're carrying around a picture of an ex. Why do you have photos of an ex? I mean, for memories, like, if you want to remember them so badly, be with them. That's just me. Yeah.
I know that's right.
Hey, this is Lou. I would agree. I would agree because it actually blocks you from allowing giving your all to the next person, or your ability to give your all to the next person, because like any, whether it's a bad situation or good situation, with anything new, and you have to empty yourself. I believe you have to empty yourself of all things that will stop you from moving forward. And I think when you think about all those other things, it kind of puts you in a rut. It puts you in a position or a situation when you're always thinking back, and then you always compare. And if I know for guys, if a woman cannot let go of a guy, that is very frustrating, because a guy feels like he cannot get across to this woman by giving his all. And it's not like his all is not working. She just has not let go of something that was in the past, because to a woman's heart, it's through her mind. And if her mind is always thinking and constantly remembering about something else, he will not have the opportunity to really express himself the way he wants to. And that will turn a man off.
All right. So I'm going to just repeat the question, because I have a lot of listeners here, before Gerald or Shakina answers or myself. The question was, put your phone on mute for me, Lou. The question was, does old letters and pictures matter in your new relationship? And what I'll say is, sometimes what happens is, not only are there old letters and pictures, but sometimes the conversation. If I feel like that person keeps mentioning that person constantly, it becomes an issue for me. Like, even myself, I just put myself in the equation. When I was married and my husband passed, you know, most people know my husband is deceased. I kept mentioning his name, and that was something that I had to. I said, well, I don't want to get in a relationship because I don't want another person to feel uncomfortable. However, they do know the situation, but it still feel like, because the love was still there, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. The love was still there. So when people are around you and they constantly, like, mentioning their names or giving you scenarios of that person, that can be a trigger as well, as the same to me, as old pictures and letters. Someone texted that to me, so I just wanted to put that out there. But if you want to add to it, Gerald or Shakina, go ahead.
I actually would say I agree with both Lewis and John here in this instance. Carrying around all these pictures of your ex for and letters and stuff, love letters and stuff. I gave you a picture. I'm the new person in your life. Why you got to go back to this old shoebox full of all these letters and stuff? And my letter ain't good enough. Are my pictures not good enough? I'm gonna keep it real with you. You know, they put it all elegant and you know, philosophical for you, but I'm gonna be real with you. What you still hung up over this Negro? You still, so like John said, if you want to remember so bad, go be with him. Mm-hmm. If he can write such good love letters and he can take such great pictures, he's so photogenic, go be with him. And vice versa for the women too. I think we have to get to the point where we stop hurting ourselves. Can I help you? If I can be real transparent, I went through that. Well, y'all know about Wonder Woman. A couple seasons ago, Wonder Woman was everything. I was talking about Wonder Woman everywhere. I had pictures in my phone, pictures on everything. Wonder Woman. Everything was Wonder Woman. And then when Wonder Woman flew off with the Joker.
All right, now.
Superman was hurt. I was hurt because I kept looking at Wonder Woman's picture. And I kept looking at the letters. In fact, just a few months ago, I found a letter that I thought I got rid of all of them. I thought I had thrown them away. I found a letter that she had wrote to me. And I read it, and I didn't know that it was going to cause me to feel like that. I got angry all over again. And I was like, well, what is this? What is this? Why am I getting angry again? I'm over that. Why am I getting angry? Because me reading that letter just brought up the old feelings that I had and everything that I'd done, and then that made me think about how I was hurt and how things transpired and how things went down, and then I was just mad all over again. So we've got to stop hurting ourselves. John said it, when you're trying to break soul ties, you know, they teach you, you got to get rid of that stuff. But a lot of y'all don't want to get rid of that stuff because you like the way they made you feel.
And you know what, before you talk, Shekinah, that's a good point, because some people do look at those things as a life that used to be. You understand what I'm saying? They admire, that was my life. You know, that was my life. Whether they were married or whatever the case may be, because people feel sometimes like even if they're married, that married to that person or had a family with that person or whatever the case may be, that they shouldn't get rid of or they should keep, you know, the pictures. But what if the new person that you have is uncomfortable with it? Go ahead, Shekinah.
Response. Everyone said everything well. I love the way Gerald ended it because he put a little.
We can't hear you.
On that thing, so it's all good.
We can't hear you.
Y'all can't hear me?
I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now? I said I have nothing to
yes.
say. I love how I agree with what everyone said. I even love how Gerald ended it because he put a little Shekinah on that thing. So I'm good. I'm good. But we can go ahead and move on to the next question. I want to propose this question, guys, since we've already addressed it. I hope the caller that the person that sent me that email, hope we were able to give you some feedback. Again, for those who are listening for the first time, please feel free to press 1 and join the conversation. We welcome everyone to be a part of this and joining us with good talk. So I want to ask this question. Someone also sent this question in to our show, and so I wanted to share it. It says, do women, and I don't know if the guys want to answer first or the ladies, but it says, do women expect to be rescued? You know, we have this little thing about, you know, I want my knight in shining armor. You know, I'm looking for my king. You know, I want him to just take care of me and just pay all the bills, and definitely if I got out of a bad relationship and I don't have nothing, I expect the next man to come and just, you know, scoop me up and rescue me. Y'all seen all them Tyler Perry movies with them happy endings, you know, the chick that had two kids from different men and she met this bus driver who was just an average man, but he rescued her, and all the black women were send me him. Y'all know what I'm talking about, so I'm going to let somebody jump in. Answer that question for you, girl.
Well, before they answer, I guess a guest already wants to chime in. Let me see what they have to say, Jira, before you answer. It sounds like a Jira answer.
Hello.
Hey, caller.
Hello.
Caller, what's your number?
Hi, this is
7574.
Yes, hello, this is Bianca Simone. This is my first time calling in, and it seems pretty cool so far, so I think I'll make sure I call in the future. But to that comment, a gentleman said, do women expect to be rescued? So I think, for one, that's a man who asked that, who's dealing with some issues in his dating life personally, because I feel like realistically it's the opposite way around. I oftentimes, and I'm sure you all can agree with this, hear men complaining that women don't know how to treat men, or women think they're too independent, or this and that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's realistic. And in that thing, on what I was just saying, you know, men oftentimes complain that, especially black women don't know how to treat a man like a king and all this stuff. But in reality, what you hear women complain about oftentimes, men having being insecure and having those issues. So what I would say to that man who seems like he's having some issues with his insecurities is that, you know, they really complain about women, you know, not knowing their value, but really are not thinking that they're a king, but really they don't believe they are either. And so this man who has the audacity to ask, do women expect to get rescued? I feel like he's really just making up something.
What?
Okay, all right.
Hello?
Thank you so much. Make sure you stay on the line because you'll hear the responses from our host, okay? All right, go ahead.
Thank you.
Caller, we have a beautiful comment.
Praise the Lord.
My name is Gerald. Praise God. And I'm just going to be real with you. First of all, I didn't know that was a man. Did you? Okay, I will. Let me talk to the lady. I'm just going to talk to her. I don't think that men are as insecure as women think we are. I don't think that we are as insecure as y'all think. Here we go. I think the problem is just what you said, but you missed the point. The problem is y'all want to be rescued, but you're too independent to say so. You want a man to come and sweep you off your feet, but you too independent to say so. You want a man to come in and pay some bills for you, but you too independent to say so. You want a man to rescue you and help you with your children that you done had taken care of by yourself all this time. You want a man to come and do that, but you are too independent to say so. You want a man to come and rub your feet and run bath water for you and put you breakfast in bed and just be that knight in shining armor for you, but you're too independent to say so. And that's not a reflection of a man's insecurity. That's a reflection of a woman's insecurity. For what? Okay. Just one more minute. Let me help you out. Do you know why women are insecure in that area? And here it is. It's because the men have dropped the ball. I threw a monkey wrench in there on you. I said the men have dropped the ball. We have not been those men that have been reliable and be trustworthy and that women can depend on. So they had to become independent, and now the independent syndrome has taken over. And it's going crazy, just like COVID-19. All right, I'm done.
Well, he got a point.
All right, thank you, Jared. Anybody else want to add on to it?
Let me add on to what. Can I add on to what PG said?
Go ahead, John.
It's not concerning the question, this is John. I think a lot of women, not most, most of the women's assessment of men today, this is just based on my experience. There's two reasons. The first one is I think women tend to think we're like other women. And so because when their homegirl does something, she does it because she's jealous or intimidated or insecure. And oftentimes they assume men operate from that same place. We don't. The second reason is these brothers that keep telling y'all they're intimidated, if I'm going to be completely honest with y'all, aren't intimidated by y'all. The reality is he just wanted a way out of the relationship, or he wanted a way out of the situationship. So he used a, God, how do I say this? He gave you something that makes you feel good, but it was also his exit way out. Most men aren't intimidated by women. Your education don't intimidate us. Most of us, which most of y'all, if we're going to keep it all the way 100, let's keep it all the way 100. Most of y'all ain't making the money y'all are posting on social media that y'all are making. I mean, I understand y'all selling these teas and y'all doing, but let's keep it all the way 100 now. A lot of y'all are waiting on brothers to come rescue y'all. That's why y'all have a problem with broke men.
Okay.
If you make it $3.5 million a year, why does it matter that he broke? Okay, he broke. You got it. Why are you so concerned? The truth of the matter is a lot of women ain't living the life they claim to be living. And I know I just started something, but it's good dialogue. Let's get it going.
Yeah, let's get this going now, because now you're going to stir it up a sister over here. Okay, now I'm going to agree, John. We'll agree that there are women.
There are
not all of us. But there are some women that is not living the life they're portraying, and vice versa when it comes to the men. I think we all can agree with
right.
that. Perception is very powerful, and all we got to do is go rent a car, rent a house, and look like we balling, put a picture on social media, endorse some CBD products, and everybody following us. Am I right or wrong? Okay. So, yes, there are people in the world that's living according to their representative and not their real person. But when it comes to a woman being insecure by a man, hold up, I'm speaking for women in my category, because there are some women like that. But my category, my type of women, we're not intimidated by a man. Whether we broke or wealthy, it's not about a man. I think it's the opposite way around. The men are intimidated by us, my type of women. I'm not speaking for all women, but there's a lot of men that I've met in my time that there were seasons where I was dead broke. But because my mannerisms, my posture, my confidence in who I am said so much that they were too intimidated to even approach me. Yes, I wanted Negro to rescue me, but he was so intimidated. I will tell you right now, I'm not that woman that's saying I'm independent. No, honey, I am dependent. God made me dependent, okay, on a man.
I said
that we were always long for a man. We was made for a man. I didn't write the Bible, ladies. I'm sorry. That's the word of God. You're supposed to be with a man, not a woman, and you're supposed to be married. He made marriage when he first established mankind, period. So we're supposed to be looking for our spouse, waiting for our spouse, and men looking for their spouse. So he was made for a man. I want a man. I don't want to do this thing by myself. I want to do it with somebody. That's where I am. My problem is when a man see me, whether I'm balling or not, they is intimidated because of all this glory over here. That ain't my fault. That's your fault. Get your game together. Get your confidence up. Get your mind right and your money right. And then come talk to a real sister like me.
Hey, listen, ain't no man intimidated by your glory. Ain't no man, John just said, ain't no man intimidated by that. You know what the problem is? Men won't approach a woman like Shekinah, because Shekinah has a lot of different, she's one of those women that just attracts all different types of energies. Every man in the room wanna holler at Shekinah.
I get that answer. That's a positive answer. I get what you're saying, Gerald. I get
every man in the room wanna holler at Shekinah.
All right, so let me hold that thought. Let me get to this call. It may be the same young lady. Hold on 1 second. Hi, caller, with your phone ending in 7574. Is this you again?
Yes, I just wanted to respond to that first gentleman that initially spoke after me.
Gerald.
Yeah, because he's contradicting himself again. So what I would say is that you're actually proving my point from what I said by saying a man needs to be asked to help his woman, because that shows that, you know, that man needs some kind of validation of some kind. Really, when you're saying that, you're too scared to the woman, you so independent, you scared to ask. Well, if that man is really a man and not a male, then he would just do that and he wouldn't have to ask. And that shows what I was saying. And as well, you just said again and said that the woman, the sister that was just talking, that, oh, a man is basically intimidated, which is your whole point of what you're trying to say is false. You're really saying that the men are intimidated to speak to a woman that's similar to her because they're scared that, oh, they're not good enough because all these other guys are showing her attention. So, you're really contradicting yourself, and it's a hot mess. And you know what she's saying is right, and you know men are intimidated, are scared. And I'm not going to get into the whole woman serving a man. It is a partnership, and respect is and it being mutual is very important. So we can throw this Bible stuff all we want. The Bible says a lot of things. And if we really want to be honest and talk about, you know, oh, why don't marriages last the way they did in the 50s and 60s, blase. Realistically, it's because women are more financially independent now, and they don't have to put up with the abuse and other things that was happening back in the day. Men just didn't start cheating. Women didn't just start cheating. People didn't start just lying and all this other stuff. You know, so realistically, that's what it is. And the standard of being a man and being a woman has changed, but largely because of economics, largely because of media and other stuff. And this guy, you sound like a pretty, you got some age on you. And that just shows that if you at your age are still thinking this, that it's women's fault and that women need to lower their standards down or whatever in order to validate yourself, then we can't even fathom what 20 and 30 year old men are thinking if you, who thinks that he is very wise, you know, have the same flaws that they do. You know, you guys can think you're having a great conversation, and I'll leave that there. Thank you.
Okay. All right, y'all, come on now.
Thank you.
Continue to listen. So that was some great feedback. So what I want to do is,
yeah,
and I know Gerald, so we won't go back and forth with our guests on our show because we want to keep it moving, and it is an hour show. So we have other topics that we want to go ahead and present, but Gerald, we take all, because that's what it is, relationship 204. We want to hear the differences of what we're thinking, because everybody, of course, don't think the same. So there is no bottom line. So yeah,
that is true.
I just have to address.
Oh God, this. I was trying to keep you quiet.
I just have to address this though. I just have to address this.
No,
though. The woman said she.
You got,
the woman
you got
made
30 seconds.
Something.
30
the woman.
Seconds.
Okay, I got 30 seconds. I did not say that men are intimidated to approach a woman because, like Shaquina, if y'all would have let me finish, what you would have heard me say was. Men respect men, and don't no man want to encroach upon another man's territory because it could be very, very volatile at that point. So I'm not gonna step to a woman who another man is trying to holler at if I'm a respectable man. That don't mean that I'm intimidated because you're so beautiful, and don't nobody care nothing about how much money you make, because guess what, you can make all the money in the world. But can't no woman or no toy do you like Brother G can do you?
Oh, Lord.
Whatever.
Oh, Lord.
And the church say, oh, Lord. All right.
Oh, Lord.
I'm just saying, you only gave me 30 seconds, so that's all I had to say.
That was my 30 seconds.
That was my 30 seconds.
All right.
I could have went in there, as you already know. I could have went in.
Okay. All right. So we have another subject, and I guess it was from Lewis. Lewis, you want to go ahead? Are you still there?
We don't turn Lewis off.
Yeah, I'm still here. My phone was on mute. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of absorbing
all the stuff
that you guys. Just taking it all in. So the question that was actually that came to me, and I thought I'd bring it to the group, is why is it easier for Christians or men in the church easier to approach a woman outside the church than it is to approach a woman within the church who is a Christian? And it was really designed to ask, is there an imbalance in how we think about women in the church and how women think about men in the church? And it's like one of the things that came out of it was that you have that women, not all, but you have women who are in the church who are Christians. They want a man who is in the streets clothed in godly cloth, which makes it difficult because it's almost like you got one foot in and one foot out. And most men who are Christians who are really following God don't have the same approach that it would be outside of the church. Why? Because there's more of a respect thing. There's more of an understanding of how what he think about the woman that's a Christian that's within the church. So the question came about was, why is it easier to approach a woman outside the church than it is within?
Could I tackle this one just a little bit? This is John. The first thing I will say, there's a number of reasons. I think the first reason is I don't think, it's something called hypergamy, and it exists in the church. Let's keep it all the way 100. Women love status. They love power. They love influence. Oftentimes, men in the church are going to be measured to the pastor. And I can speak from existence. There was nothing wonderful about me except for the fact that that I have some influence. And since I was a young man, since I was 16 years old, I could tell you that every church that I've ever been in, the women flogged, not because I was the best looking, not because I was better than any of the other men, but because I was the preacher. Just that alone. It was the influence, the power, the authority, the ability to command others, the ability to influence others. A lot of men in the church are frustrated because, one, the sisters don't measure them. They either measure them to the men in the world or to the pastor. And either way, they never match up. They have different personalities. They have different styles. He could be a wonderful guy, but the women in the church aren't going to give him play. And so you have that scenario there that frustrates the brothers. Then you have, forgive me, and I'm not saying all women in the church, by the way, but there's a large percentage of women in the church that love the fact that the brothers in the world have this edge, and because of it, they push, just literally push the men out. When we go talk to a woman outside, out in the world, if you will, she doesn't have this, how do I put it? There is not this measuring stick, this unrealistic measuring stick that she has. Because 9 out of 10 times she's going off of compatibility, past experience, what she's discovered that she's like. Sometime in the church there are these unrealistic expectations of. Most
That's
of the time
true.
I hear women describe their husband, they're describing Jesus. He died on the cross. He rose again on the third day. No, baby girl, that was Jesus. We can't do none of this stuff. Like, what's wrong? It's He's unrealistic, and so it's easier to deal with women outside because they're not looking for Jesus. They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for something genuine, and although they may not be a spiritual component to it, which is that's the issue, at least there's a authenticity there that we can appreciate, so it's easy for us to talk to them as opposed to talking to women in the church, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I like the fact that you said that the part that of how women in it, and I'm going to be honest with you, I grew up in the church that I grew up in for many years. I was there. I'm somewhere else now, but I was there. I didn't date any of the guys there, period. So I guess I would be an example, but I didn't. Yeah, great. Because growing up, you kind of already knew how they were. But guys who are not just like that question that Lewis was asking would approach me. And then I have Christian women would say to me, well, should I date this guy because he don't go to church? You understand what I'm saying? Or should I date this guy because he say he don't believe in God, but he's spiritual, you know? And it could be the same for a man. He sees a woman who's attractive, like you say, John, he sees the compatibility, you know, but at the same time, you know, them dresses real tight. She cuss like a sailor. You know, some other things that may not the expectation of what he would like, if I'm making sense. Anybody
sense.
Else can join in if you like. Shaquin, do you have anything to say?
No, I don't think y'all want me to say anything on this topic, so I'll pass.
Wow.
Well, I ain't
going to
say. Go ahead. Let us say something.
Melly Mayo, can I hear the question?
Okay. So the question was, Lewis asked a question about how guys approach, you know, about the situation of guys outside, guys in the church approaching women outside of the church, or guys outside of the church approaching women in the church. And as I was saying, and Lewis was saying, you know, different things, but I was saying that I don't date guys in my church, period. But when I do meet guys outside of the church, they have to be a lover of God. But then I said that some women will say to me or in my women's group, well, Tanisha, I like this guy, but, you know, he don't believe in God, but he's spiritual. Or, he doesn't go to church, or, you know, these type of things. And, yeah, that was a scenario. So, I don't know if you want to add to it.
I kind of think that men are visual. I think men be thinking that, ooh, she's got a booty and she's a cutie. So I kind of think that some men, well, I'm not going to speak for all men. I really can't speak for men. Based on my opinion, I really feel that men are visual, and they go in it just headstrong with what they see. And then they have to now dig in and drive and see if this was truly the woman that they wanted. But in the beginning, they go headstrong with what they see. Oh, I like this. I like her. I'm just diving in. That's what I think. And I think with women,
Gerald.
Well, I'm gonna say this. I agree with what John said. It has to do a lot with authenticity. You know, from my experience, most women in the church are not as authentic as the women outside the church. And they have this unrealistic expectation of the men who are in the church. Yeah, I said it. They have an unrealistic expectation of men in the church, and they want us to be Jesus. And when the first time that we mess up, oh, see, I thought you was a man of God. You ain't a man of God. And then if we don't approach them, because we don't approach them, then y'all go back to saying, like the whole other woman, like the first caller that was saying, oh, y'all are intimidated. Ain't nobody intimidated. My anointing intimidates you. I'm not intimidated by your anointing, sweetheart. I'm not intimidated by you. I'm not, I don't want to be with you because you're not authentic.
All right, I want to comment now. I just got to comment now. Here's the issue. The issue is I have been guilty. Let me just say this first. I have been guilty of doing that. I won't go as far to say I'm looking for a man look like Jesus because I understand nobody perfect. None of us is perfect in this world. But I will say the reason why I did that in the past, I don't do that anymore because that is unrealistic. We do women, some of us, some women, I'm not speaking for all, but some women do set unrealistic expectations for a man. But the reason why we do that, and this is what I'm leading up to, the reason why we look for somebody highly favored and just have high standards and all this unrealistic stuff is because we haven't had really many good examples. So we're
right.
looking for a good example. We haven't had many men. Come on, men. We just go back four generations ago. I mean, men have just had 15 women on the side. We have, I mean, even now in the church, we got preachers having men, I mean, women in their life. They on the down low. So we have not had a consistent of great examples of what a man looked like. So if you wasn't a child growing up where you had a father as a great example, your example was what you saw. And unfortunately, men, y'all have not done a good job with teaching us teaching us women what to look for in a man. You done jacked up some other sister and her cousins and all her friends. So it's like, what example did we have besides looking at Jesus? He's the only example of what a man is supposed to do. Love us the way Christ loved the church. Y'all need to get yourself in order, and then maybe we won't have unrealistic expectations with some of y'all jacked up selves. So now I said it, and I'm over it. Next.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold a minute. Hold on. Hold the phone. So how you going to sit up here and say that the men is jacked up? We ain't talking about all these women that's sleeping with all the preachers and the women that's coming after the married men. Come on, somebody.
No,
we ain't talking about all these women that's wearing all these.
Celibate, sisters in a church. Celibate,
come on,
sister. Got a two-year-old son.
Come on, brother.
Been celibate 10 years. How?
Uh-huh.
How?
You ain't been celibate for 10 years. She just tried. That's an excuse that she wants to. She wants you to think that it's tight and that it's right.
Okay, can I say something right now? Can I say something right now?
Go ahead, Mel.
If you feel that a woman is sleeping with Tom, Dick, and Harry, if that is the case or that happened, that only happened because of a broken man that had somebody and had something in his corner that he didn't appreciate when he had her, and then now she's just lashing out for whatever case or looking for closure or trying to find herself at the time. But she was a good, strong woman before she met that broken man, and which
well,
he sent her
into
a
whole
destructive state.
Come on, sir. Come on, sir.
Can the same,
on,
can we can we
so,
say the same thing about the men
I'm gonna
who sleep
also,
around?
And then I'm going to
no,
okay, it's
don't ignore
from,
the
okay,
question,
let me,
Mel.
Wait a minute.
Don't
no,
ignore,
I'm not
the question,
ignore the question,
Mel.
Give me
question.
Time to talk. Give me time to talk. For men that sleep, it's a difference between a man and a woman sleeping around. If a man sleeping around, he's sleeping around just because he don't know how to even address the issue that he has in his wife to tell his woman, I don't like it from the back, I want military. So he runs out the door and do some foolery, and now he's sleeping and he's sleeping
military.
Around. I'm just giving you an example. Give me a chance to talk. When a woman
no, I don't know what military
sleeps with
is.
Another
educate
man,
me.
When a woman sleep with another man, it's bigger
there.
Than just that. It's physical. It's mental. She actually likes something about that man. She loves something about that man. But men sleep around just
right.
because he feels because he didn't like the way she came to bed that night because she had on a satin scarf and her 18, 22 inches wasn't hanging down her back. She had on a scarf that day. So I'm going to run and sleep with somebody else who going to sling her hair to the left or the right, and now I ain't got to deal with that. So it's a
that's
difference
not,
between a woman
is,
sleeping with a man and a man
all right,
sleeping
so
with
me,
different
let
women.
Let me get to our caller. Let me give our callers a chance. Our callers, are you there? You can go ahead and press 1 to be involved in conversation. You can give your comments, your feedback. I ask a question. I'm going to identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. So, caller, what's your phone number ending in 0848? Caller, where are you calling from? Hey, caller, where are you calling from? caller with your phone number ending in 0848, maybe North Carolina, South Carolina or something. Okay.
It's gone.
So we'll get back to that. But yeah, you know, we all say different things, and thank you for mail for getting out what you needed to say. But we,
that's right. Thank you, Mayo.
Who is that?
Hold up. We got another caller. We got another caller that want to say something. We got another caller that want to say something. They texted. Ooh. They said they in there. They want to say that. I pressed one. They want to say something.
I did. They did. Okay. So hi, caller. What's your number ending in 0848? You're with Relationship 204. Do you have something to add or say?
Yes, hi, this is Pastor Rivers, Pastor Jared, that's my spiritual father. I came on to support him. I was just listening to what everybody was saying, and I wanted to add, because I've been in the church, and, you know, that's one of the most common things that we hear and talk about. Now, my experience or what I know and what I believe, and it's really sad that people have labeled, you know, Christian preachers as hoes, or whatever you call it, because me, I believe that men and women do the same thing. Men cheat, women cheat. My thing is, the only thing is when a man cheat, we are, us women, or y'all women, and I'm not trying to be funny, I'm not trying to call anybody out, but y'all would be so quick to be like, oh yeah, you know, he's supposed to be a man of God, but the moment it's in reverse, it's like, oh, no, you know, and it's like we women brush it off. And I've always felt like women have always targeted men. You know, let's be honest, women cheat too. You know, they just are a little more sneaky about it than men. Because men, I mean, men always get caught when they cheat. You know, how many they could try to hide it, you know, whatever the case may be. But you know, that's always been, especially in the church now, you know, and I really think it is a shame that, you know, we have these preachers who are married and they got these other women on the side. They got the side chick, they got a sugar mama, sugar bear, whatever you want to call it. And it is really, and that's why nobody doesn't respect us leaders now, because we have brought such a reproach on ourselves. Now we have brought up to reproach on the church. You know,
yeah, and that's a very good point, considering, you know, what we see out there in the world, or what the world sees as Christians out there in the world with some of our leaders. You know, it does identify, you know, people will say, well, I don't want no churchman or this right here in fear of this may happen, or, you know, this person will have another whole family, you know, cross town or up street or in another state or whatever the case may be. So I do see that fear in women, and women do fear actually for a Christian man to approach them as well, because they feel like, you know, I don't know if anybody said it, that they have to have a standard as well. And that can be a stressor for a woman to feel like, especially if they don't identify or probably wasn't have the traditions of church. You know what I'm saying? They don't know. You know, if they go to church their first time, they don't know to stand up, sit down, clap, you know, or whatever the case may be. That can be a big, you know, almost burden to, if he's interested in someone. And, you know, but it's also evangelize. I know we're supposed to evangelize. You know, they said, don't be trying to date to evangelize. Sometimes it's necessary. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it might be your season to actually do that. Maybe it not be for a relationship, you know, just a friendship. You know, I just flip it that way. Thank you so much, Colin. Make sure that you continue to stay on the line, okay? I got a little folks calling in. All right, guys.
Okay,
so we're going to go to
Gerald. Gerald had to get him some cahoots.
You know what?
Exactly.
Hey,
he's going to call something back up, like, well, you know, we thought that was your son. He's going to date him a whole trip.
You know what?
He done texted to him, y'all.
Right.
You
think Gerald intervened and said, "Oh, I got somebody trying to call in." He had to give him a backup.
Right,
you know
a backup
what?
Plan.
You know what? The man of God got on her. The man of God got on her and told the truth. Now y'all trying to discredit me and him, what he just said. But you still ain't answered.
You still ain't answered
John's question.
His mouth.
You still have not answered John's question.
What was John? This is Nellie Mel. What was John's question?
The question that John asked was, is it the same thing, can you say the same thing about men who sleep around?
You got it. That's right. That's right.
Because you said women that sleep around because they were hurt by, they were whole, strong women, and then they got connected to a broken name.
Okay. Is it the same thing when women sleep around and men sleep around? Yes. It is. It equals out to be the same thing. However, men are supposed to be held to a different standard because they are the head, and
women and
the women follow the man. The man's supposed to lead as an example. So therefore, it is the same thing.
I didn't want equality no more.
The man is supposed to lead by example. We following
exactly.
the man.
Y'all listen. Men have a habit of moving on real quick, right? But women, we got a revelation of that. We discover, you know what? I'm not gonna sit around here and be sad and crying over this joker when he done moved on. So we now do the same thing. But it goes back to what Melanie said. We are following the leader. If y'all want better quality women, y'all need to be better quality men. That's all I got to say.
Wait a minute.
Well, you know what she meant by that. By that word, y'all need
no,
to step
wait
up
a minute.
Game,
wait
know?
A minute. That's not the question
y'all
that John asked.
Y'all game. If y'all be looking and searching for certain people, a certain title of people, or certain statuses of people, and all that stuff, there, step up your game.
Listen.
So let's
John
move on
asked,
to the next.
John, they still ain't answered the question that John asked.
It may not be the answer how you think it should be told. Well, listen, I'm telling you.
I ain't gonna even go. Let's move on to the next topic, because y'all women want to be right, and y'all don't want to be corrected by
no,
men.
No, but see,
okay.
But see,
go ahead. Go ahead.
So G, you coming in at because John didn't even intervene because John heard the answer already.
You didn't answer the question. You didn't deal with the fact
answered.
That no. You didn't deal with the fact that what you said was women, a woman who can be whole and strong, then get connected to a broken man, and then she becomes a cheater because she gets connected to a broken man. So what about the man that was whole and strong and got connected to a broken woman, and now he's become a cheater? See, you didn't answer that part of the question.
He said yes.
You didn't answer that part of the question. And what y'all said was that men should lead by example and not cheat.
No, that was
men should lead by example. That's exactly what y'all said. And I'm going to tell you something.
That was
after she said yes, Gerald. She gave her explanation after she said yes. She said yes, and then she gave an explanation. So let's move on.
I didn't hear her say yes. So if she said yes,
as a man, you
got
to step up. That's their part. You got to learn how to listen to a woman. That's your problem right there.
Wait a minute. I just acknowledged. See, that's the problem. Y'all don't want to acknowledge when men are stepping up.
She
I just acknowledged.
It.
If I didn't hear her,
I just said, if I didn't hear her,
I apologize. But all you wanted to harp on was, all you got to do is listen. You know what?
Wait a minute, Gerald. What I've learned from you is you just hear just to respond. You're not really listening, because had you been listening, you would have heard me agree. But you're just hearing so you can respond. It's a difference than listening and hearing.
All right, yeah, let's move on.
Okay. Yeah. So our last question, and I want to thank you guys for your response. I want to thank you guys for your passion in responding. All right? Is that a good one? So our last one is it's kind of light. I want to end on a light note. And the actual question is, what's harder to say? And we'll end lightly. What's harder to say for the last 5-10 minutes? What's harder to say? I need help. Please forgive me. Or I love you.
I think I need help is the hardest to say.
I need help.
Yeah.
I need help. But this early talking. So that's the one that I thought too. I need
y'all help. Y'all muted me. I can't stop. Y'all muted me. Y'all always muted me. I can't talk because y'all always mute me. So now you want me to talk.
We're not gonna do this with our listeners, okay? Because we are professional, so we're not gonna do this with our listeners. But what I'm saying is, I need help. A lot of times we're in situations, whether it can be financial, whether it can be with our health, whether it can be with relationships, and we don't want to acknowledge that we need help. I'm not sure why it is, but we can be thinking and we won't say that we need help financially. We can be in the hospital and you tell your children, oh, tell nobody I'm in here. Your relationship, you may need some counseling or talking to, but we won't seek out for help. And that was the biggest one is I need help. It's easy to say I love you whether you mean it or not. It's easy to say I forgive you whether you mean it or not. But with to say that I need help, I don't know, people sometimes take it as a pride thing, an ego thing, or independent thing. But I think I said it at the beginning of the show. If it's something that you need, even if it's some type of counseling, you know, everyone on here is a part of the ministry, or just speak to anyway. I just believe that the word I need help needs to come out, especially in a time like this, because we don't know how long the line going to be at the courthouse after all this is finished. I'm just joking. But if y'all got
to oh, Lord.
But, yeah, I need help. Anybody else want to add on before we end the show?
No, I hit this is a little – I think that's a personal – conviction some people may have, because I'll give you an example. You know, I'm someone that I love to give. Not that I don't want to ask for help when I need it, but because I'm typically in a position where I'm always giving, whether it's my time, money, advice, whatever it is, I love to give. So I am reluctant to say when I need help to ask for it. I will ask for it by only my closest people to me and not just in general. And I think it, not that it's a problem, because I want to maintain that situation where I want to be reached out to if someone is in need for help. So I would always give, and I would always give. And not that I'm just afraid to ask for help, but it's just not that easy for me to ask for it because I'm always in a situation where I love giving, even if it's sometimes my last. And I think some of us who are givers, typically we have that issue with how we, you know, ask for help. Go ahead, Shakina.
I think that's awesome, and I think I agree with you. A lot of people who are givers have really challenges when it comes to asking for help. But I think for me, this is my own personal testimony. My issue was I didn't want to ask for help because, for one, like Tanisha said, I didn't want people knowing my business. I didn't want it getting out that I'm having an issue, I'm struggling, I have a lack right now. And, you know, it's hard nowadays to find true friends, to find true people that will
keep you and cover you and, you know, provide for you without everybody needing to know. I just sold a seed into this moment of God. You know, that's, you know, sometimes you will ask somebody for help in private, and then you will sow, they'll sow into you. And next, you know, they'll screenshot your reply back. Thank you, woman of God, for sowing. You know, I need. I'm like, why you gonna screenshot and let the whole world know you sold into me and you gonna send my reply and put it all on social media? So for me, it was more back in the day. I'm not there no more. I struggled with doing it because I didn't trust people to keep it between me and you. I'm not broadcasting and saying everybody sold me on Facebook, I need to pay a light bill. I came to you in private saying I had a light bill need to be paid, and I couldn't even trust you to pay without going to tell our circle, our clique. Yeah, I had the bell. She came right out. You know what I'm saying? So that was my issue. Why? And they call it pride or whatever. That's where I was. But then I had to humble myself when I got down and I was really bad in that situation. I needed help to ask people for help. And thank God, God led me to those people that covered me. And they didn't blast me to say they've been sewing for me or paying these bills or whatever. You know, so that was my issue.
Right. And that's good because even I, you know, I had that same issue when I was sick. You know me, Shekinah. I was like, I ain't telling nobody. You know, it wasn't that I just didn't want to tell anybody for prayer or help. It's just that sometimes people will aggravate you, you know, or they'll keep calling wanting to know. Well, you know, sometimes when people need help or when people die, certain people don't know what questions to ask. And you have to give them a little leeway because they'll ask you, like, the strangest, they'll say the strangest thing. And you're like, huh? So, yeah, I can agree with Shekinah on that, too, about just putting, you know, your business out there and also people not knowing how to respond as well.
Oh,
so I want to
let me add this one last thing. Let me add this one last thing. Also, too, this was another reason just came to me why I personally didn't want to say I need help. It's because I don't want to owe nobody nothing. Y'all know how you be, people help you out, and then when they need help, they'll call you. But it's like, dude, you calling me because you want to hold my car. I called you for $10. This ain't on the same level. So it's like, I want to tell you no. How do I tell you no when you don't help the sister out? It's like, you ain't leveling the playing field. So I just didn't want to owe nobody nothing because I don't want them to have to call me for a favor and I don't feel like it, or I just can't do it, and you just ain't levering the field. So that was my other reason.
And see, with me, Kina, you know me all your life. I have always been a giver and a taker. Me, personally, I would give. And then when it came to me asking for people for something, I did that as well. But I've learned a long time ago at an early age, if you have a problem, the person that you think about, the first person that you think that you're going to tell your problem to, if that person can't help you with your exact problem, don't even bother wasting your time telling them your problem, because now you're making another problem for yourself because now you done gave them something to talk about. So if I needed $1,000, I'm not going to tell the person that's only making $1,000 that I need $1,000 because they can't give me $1,000. I'm only giving them some ammunition to go and tell somebody else. So I don't have a problem with giving somebody my last. And Shekinah, you know me all your life. I've done that.
I still do that to this day.
So, but when I do ask somebody for something, whatever my particular problem is, if I needed somebody to write a resume, I'm going to a person that I know is a resume writer. If I needed $1,000, I'm going to somebody that I know have $1,000. I'm just not going to go to, oh, okay, well, she's been my friend 5-6 years. Maybe she can help me. No way I'm not going to go to her because she has friends that's not my friend. And when she tell me, after I tell her everything and my problem and what I need, and then she going to let me down lightly and say, oh, well, friend, I don't have it. Soon as I get on the phone with her, she going to call and tell that girl, oh, well, you know, Melanie called me, and, oh, she this, that, and the third, and yeah, uh-huh, girl, woo-da-woo. And that I don't have time for. So I have learned at an early age that if you do need help, if you have certain people in place to help you with certain things, then you go to that particular person. You don't go to a resume writer for $1,000, and you don't go to a person that got $1,000 that can give you $1,000 to help you write a resume.
I get it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you guys so much, and thank you, gentlemen. for listening. We want to thank you guys who are out there. Make sure to tune to us every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And remember, if you have a question or discussion or anything, you can always send it by email at relationship204@gmail.com. Make sure you tell a friend about us on Thursday night. And also, you can find or identify the names if you want to reach out to anyone that's a part of the show on our blog talk show at relationship204. Just put that in the search bar, relationship R, the letter R204, and you should be able to come right up to our page. So thank you, guys, and thank you, host, for listening. And, guys, you have a great night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.